said it before, comedy is hard. I wouldn't know where to begin. You know, music is a lot easier. And I think he deserves one more hand. And before I bring up our last performers who will close out the night for us, I also want to thank Ira Grauman, our sound volunteer. He records everybody. He does videos. You can get up on his website and hear how you did, if you dare. I've dared, and I've been humbled, but I will listen again nevertheless, because you learn from it. And I really appreciate all of you coming out. And Bill and Joanna Harriman are going to close out the night for us. Please give them a big welcome.
This back a little bit. It's hitting my hand. Or actually, I'm hitting it. And okay, you all set? Okay, everybody's doing funny songs, and then we have. But I just turned the volume down on the guitar. Is that better? Have to be that close?
No.
Let's move it back
because
just
he's a troublemaker.
Okay, that's better. That's better.
We lost power. Oh, well. Did it run out again? It happened before.
Just turn it up.
Okay, it's up. Okay, all right. Okay, so everybody's doing these light, funny songs, and then we have a comedian, and we're last, and we're going to send you home with the serious songs. Sorry to send you home with the downer, but I want to do a song that, we want to do a song that I learned 42 years ago in the summer of 1968 when I was in the Navy waiting for my discharge to come through. Now, how I got to be in such a situation is a little bit of a long story, but to tell you briefly. I was young, and I was making some poor decisions at that point in my life. One decision was to drop out of college after my sophomore year in 1967. It was kind of stupid in retrospect. You know, in 1967, there was a war on, and there was a draft on, and I was trying hard. I was trying hard to be patriotic and, you know, listen to my father and trying to believe that my country was doing the right thing. And I was sort of neutral about the war. I certainly didn't want to be drafted. I didn't want to join the Army and go infantry to Nam. I also didn't want to go to Canada and break my parents' heart. So as a way out, I decided to join the Navy. I figured the Navy is a little bit safer. So I joined the Navy on a delayed enlistment plan in June of 1967. I didn't have to report for duty until February of 1968. Well, a lot of things happened in that period. I started to grow my hair longer, and started to use drugs. Started to be called they called me a hippie. I had been called a beatnik, but then they started to call me a hippie. And my opinion changed about the war, and by the time February 1968 came around, I wasn't really good military material, but I had already taken the oath. I had to go. I had to report, so I said, you know, I'll report. I'll try to make the best of this. So, boot camp was tough. I got through boot camp okay, because boot camp is only 3 months long. So you just, Great Lakes Naval Training Center, north of Chicago, and that was as far as I got. So I got through boot camp okay, just thinking of it as a three-month challenge, and it was a challenge. So that wasn't too bad, and I actually did fairly well. Then when I came home from leave, and then I went back to electronic school, and I found out that with the six-year enlistment facing me, I hated it. I just absolutely hated it. And I said, I'm going to go insane, or I'm going to run away, or I don't know what I'm going to do. So then I met somebody that said, I can help you get out. And I said, out? I said, yeah, but I don't want a dishonorable discharge. And he said, no, you won't get a dishonorable discharge. The Navy doesn't want people in who are using drugs, especially people who are dropping acid, because they were afraid that, you know, you drop acid, you know, you might have a flashback at the helm of the ship or something. So I had a field board, which is like a court martial. I had a Navy-appointed lawyer who was sort of a lefty lawyer. He didn't belong in the Navy either. He was a lieutenant. And I pleaded my case, which was that I had made a mistake, and that was, you know, to my benefit and to the Navy's benefit to set me free. And sounds like kind of a flimsy case, but it worked. And I got out on October 9th, 1968. I got a general discharge. I was so happy. But that summer, I was stationed in a transit barracks. A transit barracks is a place where they put you when you're waiting for orders, waiting to go somewhere else, waiting to go home, waiting to go to another assignment, waiting to go to Nam. They had some Marines in there that had come back from Nam, so it was kind of a funky place. So I used to sit on my bunk, and I used to play this song, and some of the guys really liked this song. Some of them hated it, but a lot of them really liked it. So anyway. This is Masters of War.
Oh,
oh boy. Ready, honey? Heavy stuff. Come, Masters of War. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, I just want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. Over a war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your lies, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, and you sit back and watch while the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. For threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know but to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never
forgive what you do. Now let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you'll find when your death takes its toll that all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you lower down to your deathbed. Then I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. Thank you. Thank you.
Too, but I appreciated learning more about Bill's life. That was quite a story, some history. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for coming. Happy birthday, Mary. Thank you for spending it here.